The eighth and ninth prakim of Baba Basra deals with the laws of inheritance. The laws of inheritance, Yerusha, is discussed in specific in Bamidbar in the context of the daughters of Tzlofchad who had passed away come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we would like to get an inheritance from our father. He has no sons, just us five daughters, and accordingly, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we would like to divide up and have our portion of the land that our father would have received in lieu of any brothers receiving it, because we don't have any brothers. In that context, the Torah discusses what the priorities are in who would receive Yerusha and inheritance. So we're going to go through, we're going to learn a lot from those psukim. In particular, in the first two Mishnayos in our parak, we're going to learn about the priorities of who receives and who does not receive an inheritance. So just to dive into the Mishnah, and then I'm going to take a step back and talk about some more of the concepts of the priorities. Our Mishnah says as follows, Yesh nochalim u'manchilim. We're going to talk about four categories now of people. There are those that are recipients of Yerusha from others. U'manchilim, they give inheritance to others. V'yesh nochalim, there are those that receive lo'manchilim. This is category number two, and they don't give inheritance to others. Category number three, manchilim v'lo nochalim. There are those that give but don't receive. And category number four, lo nochalim. They don't receive v'lo manchilim. They also don't give. And we're going to discuss these four categories, starting with the first one, elu nochalim u'manchilim. There are those that are both recipients and donors of Yerushas. They both give and receive Yerusha. And now we're going to have some examples of that. So just before we get into the specifics of the Mishnah, of the examples, I just want to go through some of the priorities in Yerusha. If there is a nifter is the person who passes away, we're going to call him the proverbial Reuven. And Reuven, he passes away, the first priority will be if Reuven has a son, the son, or multiple sons, the sons will split the Yerusha. So that's going to be level number one. Level number two, if Reuven does not have a son but has a daughter or daughters, they will split the Yerusha. If you're on one rung, meaning sons, there is a son or multiple sons, you will never get to the rung number two. The 100% of the Yerusha is divided up on the priority, whatever rung it's on. So it's number one, if there's a boy or multiple boys, even if there are daughters, the son or sons will get everything. If there are no sons, then you go to number two, to a daughter or daughters, they will receive everything. Level number three is Reuven passes away. He has no descendants, no sons or daughters, or any of their descendants, because if they have descendants, there's those children of the son, which is a grandson, granddaughters, they will step into the shoes of their parent, as we will see a little bit in Mishnah Beis, so we won't get into that too much detail right now. But let's assume that Reuven passes away. He has no descendants, no sons, no daughters, or none of their children. Then we will go up to Reuven's father, to Yaakov. If Yaakov is not alive, then we will get to level number four. And level number four is if Reuven has any brothers. If Reuven has been any brothers, he doesn't have any levels, number one, two, or three, doesn't have any descendants, doesn't have a father, then the brothers of the deceased will divide up the Yerusha. So let's get back to our Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah goes as follows. This is category number one. Elu nochalin umanchilin. These are those that they receive Yerusha and they also give Yerusha. Ha'av es habanim, so a father will receive from his sons. This is talking about, in particular, as we mentioned, the father is indeed on level number three. So if the son, Reuven, doesn't have any descendants, doesn't have a boy, rung number one, doesn't have a daughter or any daughters, rung number two, then it goes up the Yerusha to the father. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ha'av es habanim, the father will inherit from the sons, v'habanim es ha'av, and also conversely, the children will receive Yerusha from a father who passes away, and in addition, v'ha'achin, brothers, min ha'av. This is talking about level number four, that if Reuven passes away and he doesn't have a son, level number one, doesn't have a daughter, level number two, his father's not alive, Yaakov is not alive, then his brothers from the father, meaning they have a joint father, even if they have different mothers, they will be the recipients of the Yerusha. And the Mishnah says, Nochalin u'manchilin, these are the categories that will both receive and give Yerusha back and forth. Next, we're going to get into category number two, those that are Nochalin v'lo manchilin, those are those that receive Yerusha, but do not give to others Yerusha. So now the Mishnah continues with three sets of relatives who indeed inherit from others, but that do not pass inheritance back. So it goes as follows. Ha'ish es imo, a son can receive inheritance from his mother, but he does not pass inheritance up to his mother because it would go to his father or to his father's family. Va'ish es ishto, a man will receive inheritance from his wife, but not vice versa. The wife would not receive inheritance when the husband passes away. And last, third example, ubnei achayos, if we have nephews of two sisters and they had a brother, those two sisters had a brother, so those two sons of the sisters can inherit from their mother's brother who is their uncle, but they would not pass up to him, to that uncle, via their mothers. They would not pass inheritance. And the Mishnah says that's category number two, no chali velo manchilim. These are the categories that would receive but not pass up inheritance to others. Category number three is the reverse of category number two. It's those who pass inheritance on to relatives when they pass away, but they are not recipients from those same relatives. And we're going to see the same three categories as we saw before, the same three examples that we saw before, but the converse, ha'isha es barnecha, when a woman who is no longer married passes away, she passes on inheritance to her children. But when her children would pass away and she is still alive, she does not inherit their property. Va'isha esbala, the same thing when a wife passes away, she passes on inheritance to her husband. But when the husband passes away, she is not a recipient from him. And the same as we saw before, va'achei ha'em, when we have the brothers of the mother, for example, the uncles would not be recipients of Yerusha from their nephews, but they would pass on to them. So in other words, the Mishnah concludes, this is the third category, all of these, manchilin velo nochalim, these are the categories that they pass on inheritance to others, but they are not recipients of that inheritance. And then the Mishnah talks about the final category, fourth category, va'achim minaem lo nochalim velo manchilim. Brothers who are from the same mother, they have a common mother, but not a common father, they do not inherit back and forth between them. They don't receive, they don't give, because the whole concept of the Yerusha is that it goes via the father and the father's family, not via the mother's family. Mishnah Beis is fairly technical, so I think giving an introduction as to the priorities of Yerusha will help in getting through this Mishnah fairly quickly. So in general, based on the Psukim, there is a priority, based on the Psukim, based on the Gemara, based on the Mishnah, there is a priority of as follows, and we're going to list eight different levels. Number one, when somebody passes away, for example, Reuven passes away, his son or sons are going to be the first to inherit, so that's level number one, a son. Level number two is going to be a daughter. In the absence of any sons, then a daughter or daughters will split the Yerusha. Level number three, and we're always assuming we only get to the next level if there is no one above at a priority above that level. So if there's no son, no daughter, there are no descendants, then Reuven's father is going to be level number three. That's going to be Yaakov. He will inherit the son. Next is going to be number four. If there's no one, two, or three, then brothers of the Niftra, the brothers of the deceased, will receive their inheritance. So if Reuven passes away, Shimon and Levi will inherit him. If Shimon and Levi are not extant, if Reuven has no descendants, his father passed away, and also he has no brothers, then Dina, the sister, will be the recipient of their inheritance. And so that's the whole inheritance on each of these levels. Once you hit the level that's inheriting, they get all of it. Number six is going to be an uncle of the Nifter, of the person who passes away, an uncle on his father's side. Number seven is going to be an aunt on the father's side. And number eight, if we don't have anyone through what levels number one through seven, then we are going to go back to look at who was his grandfather. So Reuven passed away. He didn't have a father, didn't have any of these others. We're going to go back to level number three and says, Yaakov passed away, but who is Yaakov's father? And we're going to go up to Yitzchak. And then we will work, if Yitzchak isn't alive, then we will work back on the priorities based on Yitzchak's family. So let's go through the Mishnah, and we will refer to those levels as we go forward, so that should make it much easier. So the Mishnah base says as follows, Seder Nachalos Kachu, this is the priorities of the levels of the Nachala, Ish Kiyamus uben ein lo. This is bringing a pasuk from the Torah. If somebody passes away and he doesn't have a son, v'havartem es nachlaso lebito, then you get to level number two. You go to the bat. In the absence of a son or sons, you go to the daughter. So now we're going to go through the priorities. And our Mishnah is assuming that the deceased, who's our Reuven, he doesn't have a father. So we're going to skip that level in our priorities. We're assuming that Reuven's father, Yaakov, is not alive. But we'll insert that as we go along. So Ben Kodem Lebat, if Reuven passes away, then first on the pecking order is going to be his son. The son is going to be before any daughter. That's going to be level number two. And in addition, and this is very important, v'cho yotze yirecho shel ben kodmin lebas. In addition, even if there's not a son, but that son has a child. If he has a male, it'll be the male. If he has a female child, in other words, Reuven has a granddaughter via his son. That granddaughter will come before level number two, Reuven's daughter, because they are higher up on the pecking order. In other words, even if the Ben, Reuven's son, is not alive, but that son has a descendant, that descendant will step into the shoes of that son of Reuven and get the entire Yerusha. So the Mishnah says, V'chol yotze yirecho shel ben kodnim lelebas, even if on level number one the son is not around, but there are descendants of that son, that priority comes before the daughter of Reuven. Bas kodemes la'achin, and a daughter, that's level number two, comes before level number four. Again, we're assuming level number three, that Reuven's father is not alive. Otherwise, his father is level number three, would come before any brothers of Reuven. So here again, Bas, this is level number three. Reuven has a daughter. That daughter comes before Reuven's brothers, La'achin. And in addition, even if that daughter is not alive, Yotze Yerecha Shel Bas, any descendants of that daughter, Kodmin La'achim, come before Reuven's brothers. That's level number four. Continuing, Achin, brothers or sisters, this is levels number four and five. If Reuven has a brother or brothers, or Reuven has a sister or sisters, for example, Dina, Achin Kodmin La'achei Ha'av, those levels number four and five, siblings come before uncles. So siblings, levels number four and number five, they would come before any uncles of Reuven. In other words, the brothers of Reuven's father, who is Yaakov, so uncles from on his father's side. And in addition, the same clause we've seen before, the same concept we've seen before, Yotze Yerechan Shalachin, any descendants of levels four and five, Kodmin La'achei Ha'av, they would come before any uncles, any brothers of the father. So now we're going to talk about two principles that we've seen, Zeha Klal, this is the general principle, Kol HaKodem B'Nachala, anyone who has a priority before somebody else, Yotze Yerecho Kodmin, if they are not alive but their descendants are, they will come before somebody on a lower priority, on a lower number. And in addition, V'Ha'av, the deceased's father, Kodem Lechol Yotze Yerecho, comes before any of his children. In other words, V'Ha'av, which was our priority number three, will come before any of his children's, any of his other children. For example, level number four are the brothers of Reuven. Reuven passes away. What it's saying is Yaakov, Reuven's father, comes before any of Reuven's brothers, which is level number four, or his sisters, which is level number five. Mishnah Gimel is an amazing Mishnah that gives us the full story of the claim of the daughters of Tzlofchad in the Midbar in Egypt in their desire to have the inheritance of their father in Eretz Yisrael when it would be divided. And the Mishnah tells us, Benos Tzlacha, the daughters of Tzlacha, the five daughters of Tzlacha, Natlu Shlosha Chalakim Benachala, they weren't only making a simple claim to step up and get an inheritance, but in fact, when you look under the details, they received three different portions. In other words, three buckets of inheritance directly from their father. Tzlacha passed away in the Midbar, and this was passed on to them as his rightful heirs. So it says as follows, category number one, bucket number one that they received, Chelek Avihen Shahaya Im Yotzei Mitzrayim. So bucket number one is the way their inheritance works, at least according to one opinion, is that it wasn't based on who came into Israel, but it was based on who came out of Egypt 40 years earlier. So Tzlafchad came out of Egypt. He passed away in the Midbar, but he had a right to a portion in the land, and it was a portion based on he would get one portion and his children would divide it up. So for example, two people came out of Egypt. One of them has 10 children. One of them has one child. They would get equal amounts, the 10 and the 1, because they each had a right to one portion in the land of Israel. So Benos Tzlafchad passes away. Tzlafchad had no children, and that's based on the prior Mishnah. Ben, a child would get first, but Tzlafchad had no son, so it would go to his daughters. So that was one portion that they received. The second portion that they received is that Tzlafchad's father, Hefer, he also passed away in the wilderness, as somebody who came out of Egypt, he also would get a portion. So Hefer had a number of sons, and we know Tzlafchad, one of the sons, passed away. So the Mishnah is about to tell us that because he had descendants here would be daughters, those daughters who are on priority level number two comes before Tzlafchad's brothers were on priority level number four. So because they had a higher priority, they in fact would receive a portion directly from their grandfather. As the grandfather, he had a number of sons, but their father passed away, they rise up to still assume Tzlafchad is still alive. They would get his portion. So the Mishnah says, V'chelko im echav b'nichsei chefer. So they, the daughters of Tzlafchad, would divide up with his brothers. In other words, Tzlafchad's brothers or their uncles, they had the portion coming from their nechasim in Eretz Yisrael of their grandfather, Chefer. And not only that, were they treated as Tzlafchad himself would receive the Yerusha in equal portions to his brothers from their father. But in addition, Tzlafchad himself was a Bechor. V'shahaya Bechor. Tzlafchad was a Bechor. So when they were getting their father's amounts from their division from their father, in fact, no tal shnei chalakim, they were getting two portions as a Bechor. Just like Tzlafchad, if you were alive, you would get a double portion as a Bechor. So too, they were getting a double portion directly from their grandfather. In Mishnah Dalit, we see what we saw in the first Mishnah, that if a husband and wife, they are married, they have children, if the wife passes away and the husband is still alive, the husband will inherit the wife. However, if he predeceased, if he passed away first, and now the wife, who is also a mother, passes away, she will give over the inheritance to her children, first to the boys, any son, and then to a daughter. So our Mishnah, in discussing inheritance, when we have children, we have sons and we have daughters, it discusses that children can inherit both from the father and the mother. If the mother is no longer married, they will receive the inheritance, and the priority is first as a son, and then a daughter. That applies whether the inheritance is coming from the mother or from the father. So echad haben ve'echad habas benachala, these concepts apply both when inheriting a mother or father, a son and a daughter. This is all the halacha still apply across the board, but there are a couple of fundamental differences. Ela shehaben no tal pi shnayim b'nichsei ha'av. However, a son will get a double portion if he is a bechor when he is inheriting his father. Ve'eno no tal pi shnayim b'nichsei ha'em. But however, he will not take a double portion when he is receiving the Yerusha from his mother, whose husband had already passed away, so he's not getting the Yerusha. So if there are multiple sons and there's a Bechor, the Bechor would not get a double portion from the Yerusha of his mother. The second fundamental difference is Vahabanos Nizonos Minichse Ha'av Ve'einan Nizonos Minichse Ha'em, which means when a father passes away, as part of the ksuba commitment that he made to the to his wife, he's inserted in there, and it's a ktnai of the ksuba that upon his passing, the daughters, until they grow up and until they marry, they will be supported from the assets of the estate. So in other words, before the sons, if there are sons, they will inherit before the, and the daughters will not inherit, but the benefit of the daughters is that they will be fed and their needs will be covered from the estate before the boys will allocate and take the funds, the inheritance to themselves. So habonus nizonus mechnichseav, that applies when the father passes away and he leaves an estate. The daughters are fed from that estate because the father made that commitment in his ksuba. Ve'einan nizonet minichseem, but when the mother passes away and there's also not the father, they would not that have that priority to have their mizonos, their needs covered from the estate of the mother because she didn't have a ksuba. She was the recipient of the benefit of the ksuba, but she did not make such a commitment. In Mishnah Hay, we see, in building on the priorities we've seen before, that the Torah dictated the priorities in the Yerusha. For example, that the sons will divide equally, that the Bechor gets a double portion, for example. And in our Mishnah, we're going to discuss three scenarios where somebody tries to opt out of the requirements of the Torah, tries to change those requirements. So, for example, in the first case in our Mishnah, Ha'omer Ish Ploni Beni Bechor, my son, he's the Bechor, the Torah says he's supposed to get a double portion, Lo Yitol Pishnaim, he's not going to get a double portion. By the way that's computed, if there are, for example, four sons, and one of which is a Bechor, the portions of the Yerusha, the state, is divided in five. The Bechor gets two of the five portions, and the other three sons get one-fifth each. So that's how the double portion works out. So if somebody tries to opt out of that and says, I've got a Bechor, but he's going to get equal to everyone else. Each is going to get a quarter. Each of the four sons is going to get 25%, or Ish Ploni Beni Lo Yirash Im Echav, or one of those four sons, I'm going to disinherit one of them. Only three sons, they're going to divide up. One is not being included. The Mishnah says, Lo Amar Klum, his statement is invalid. We disregard his wish because Shehisna Amar Shekasu B'Torah, because he's making a tanai upon what is said in the Torah. In other words, he's trying to opt out of the requirements of the Torah. We are going to disregard his desires. The second scenario in our Mishnah is talking about someone who is on his deathbed, our proverbial Reuven, and he says, I want to divide up my assets X, Y, Z. HaMechalek Nechasov Levanov Alpiv. So he says verbally, typically we require a kinyan, for example. It needs to be more formal, but when it comes to Shechiv Meir, or somebody who's a passed away, there's a concept that we will adhere to his requirements, his wishes, even if it doesn't fit the formalities of making a kinyan. HaMechalek Nechasov Levanov Alpiv. He verbally says, this is how I want to divide it up, and he goes literally against the words of the Torah, as we'll see. Riba le'achad, umiyet le'achad. He gave more to one and less to another, even though the Torah says they're all supposed to be treated equally, with the exception of the Bechor getting double. But he changes it. He changes the amounts. Or v'hishva lahen et ha'bechor, or he made the Bechor, who was supposed to get a double portion, equal to the brothers. Dvarav kayamin. We will adhere to the wishes of the Shechiv Meirah. It's not because he's going against the words of the Torah, but rather it's because he is calling it a matana. If he is giving it as a gift rather than a Yerusha, it's not considered an affront to the dictates of the Torah. It's not considered going against the Torah because he's giving it as a gift, but not as a Yerusha, as an inheritance. But v'im amar mishum Yerusha, if he says, this is how I'm giving the Yerusha, and then he changes and he gets that the Bechor is getting equal, or he's giving one more than the other, something like that, lo amar klum, then we will not adhere to his wishes because he's going against the dictates of the Torah. So then how do we know if he's saying it as a gift or saying it as a Yerusha? So we'll see now that as long as he uses the language that it is a gift, even if he also says Yerusha, but as long as he says gift in some form, then we are going to say he's giving it as a gift and his wishes will be binding. So the Mishnah says, Kasav bein betchila, bein beemsa, bein besof mishumatana. If he wrote, literally he wrote, but he doesn't have to write it. Typically they would write when there was a wish, but even if it was just verbal and he mentioned it, whether at the beginning he says, I want to give a matana to my kids as a Yerusha, and even though he said Yerusha also, but at the beginning he said matana, or he said the word matana in the middle of the description of how he wants to divide up Abtzos, I want to give Yerusha as a matana, as a Yerusha, something like that, Bein Basaf, or he said, I want to give Yerusha as a matana, as long as he says the language of matana, Bein Basaf, Mishu matana, he said that it is a gift, Dvarav Kayamim, his gift will be valid. The third case in our Mishnah deals with a nifter, a Reuven, who's going to pass away, or he writes in his will, and he's attempting to disinherit somebody who would otherwise receive Yerusha. So as we've talked about before, you can't make any changes. Ha'omer ish ploni yirasheni b'makom shiesh bas. I'm going to give it to Yonatan, he's not related or he's a distant relative, even though I have a daughter who should be inheriting from me or a son. It doesn't matter. He's trying to go out of the pecking order. Bititi rasheni b'makom shiesh ben, or he's trying to drop down and say a daughter who's on level number two, as we've discussed, of Yerusha before the son, who's the priority in receiving the Yerusha. He's trying to go out of the order. Lo amar klum, he doesn't say anything. It's not valid, his wishes. Shehisna alma shekasu, because he's trying to opt out of the requirements of the Yerusha as dictated by the Torah. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah is going to tweak that a little bit. He generally agrees that we're pretty structured and we cannot jump between rungs. In other words, if there is a son, we cannot give the daughter to inherit in place of the son or in addition to the son. But what he is going to say is if we have multiple sons, so all of them would be receiving some form of Yerusha, we can change the percentages if they are all on the same rung. So between sons, if we'd have each one getting 20%, and he wants to give more of a percentage to one because all of them would be receiving some form of Yerusha, he is allowed to reallocate. Or if he has only daughters, he's allowed to reallocate percentages among them. But what he cannot do, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah agrees, is he can't jump down a rung, meaning if they're sons, he can't give the daughters a priority over the sons. Daughters are getting nothing, so they can't be allocated something. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah Omer, Im Amar al mi shehuroi li Yerusha Dvar Rav Kayamim. If you are trying to reallocate and change things about somebody who would in any case be receiving a Yerusha, you're just trying to change their amount, that is appropriate, that's okay. However, if you're trying to give priority to someone who would not be receiving any Yerusha at all, for example, somebody's trying to give a daughter when there are sons, or to give his father, or to give his brothers and siblings when there's a daughter or a son, in that case, his words are disregarded. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah agrees we have to adhere to the requirements of the Torah on the priorities. All he says is you can change within the rungs, but you can't go to a lower rung of priority. The final part of our Mishnah has a fascinating discussion. If a person wants to give away his property before he passes away, so his children do not inherit him, is that the proper thing to do? For example, he doesn't like the way that his children are living. They're not living in accordance with the Torah, for example, and he doesn't want them to get anything to support their decadent lifestyle. Is that appropriate or not for him to give away before he passes away so they get nothing? So the Mishnah says, HaKosev es nechasav la'acherim, somebody who gives away his nechasim as a gift to others, ehiniach es banav, and he's leaving his children without anything. The Mishnah says, Masha asa asu, it is valid, legally it's valid, but aval ein ruach chachamim nochaimenu. But Chazal were not pleased with this approach, as explained, that even if a person views, and it's, in fact it's true that his children are wicked, he should not be giving away his assets, because maybe, please God, in the future we'll have grandchildren or great-grandchildren that will be righteous and they will leave a legacy, a proper legacy. So the Yerusha still should pass through and hopefully it will get to the proper people. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees. He says, Im lo hayubanav nohagim keshur, if his children are not acting properly, zachur latov, by giving away his assets before death and not having go to his children who are not acting properly, they're evil, they're wicked, they're off the derech, he should be remembered for the good. That is definitely an appropriate thing for him to do, to get the assets away from them. Nonetheless, we do not paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. We do paskin that it would be inappropriate, legally binding, but inappropriate for somebody to disinherit his children, even if they are acting in evil ways. Mishnah Vav deals with a fascinating scenario and continuing to discuss the laws of Yerusha. If there's a long-lost son or a long-lost brother, does that relative also Yorish inherit with his relative? So the Mishnah says, HaOmer, we have the proverbial father, says, Yaakov says, Zebini, this is my son Yosef, he is Naaman, he is believed, and Yosef will participate with the other sons when the father passes away in dividing up the Yerusha. However, if the father says, Zeachi, if the father says, if Yaakov says, this is my brother, Eino Naaman, he is not Naaman. In other words, in a situation where that Yaakov had no children and had no father, then the next priority would go to his brothers. He is not Naaman to say that this is my brother to participate with my other siblings. Now the Mishnah does continue then, and it says, V'notel Imo Bechelko. This is talking about a situation where we have two brothers, number one and number two. And then number two says, hey, we have a third brother, number three, that would participate in the Yerusha. Number one says, I don't know anything about this number three. I don't recognize him. But number two says, yes, yes, he is indeed our brother, and he would split it with us. The Mishnah tells us that when their father passes away, the first brother, who doesn't acknowledge number three, would get half of the Yerusha, as if three doesn't exist. Number two, who is claiming that there are three Yorshim, there are three brothers, he would get a third, because he's saying, I'm one of three. And that third brother, who only number two acknowledges, not number one, that third brother would get the leftover of the Yerusha, which would be 1/6. So it would be divided up. Son number one that doesn't acknowledge number three, he gets half. Son number two, who acknowledges number three, would get 1/3. And the balance, which is 1/6, would go to son number three. What happens if number three passes away, Mace, and he has these assets that he received because of the acknowledgement of brother number two? Yachzru nechosim limkoman. The Mishnah says that that 1/6 of the Yerusha would be returned to brother number two, because it's because of brother number two that number three got anything. The Mishnah then continues, how about if number three got a Yerusha from somewhere else? Who gets that Yerusha? Is it only brother number two, because number two acknowledged number three as a brother, or is it also brother number one? So the Mishnah says, naflu lo nechasi mimakom acher. The third brother got a Yerusha for some other place. The Mishnah says, yirshu echav imo. It's not only brother number two that will yoresh him, but it's also brother number one. Why? Because number two acknowledged that number three is one of our collective brothers. Once he says it's one of our collective brothers, that means that all of the brothers should be sharing in number three's Yerusha equally. The second part of the Mishnah refers back to what we discussed in the prior Mishnah. We mentioned that a Shechiv Meira, a deathly ill individual, it's enough that he say, I want to give a gift, and that is effective even though there's not a kinyan, because we will adhere to the last will and testament of somebody who is on his or her deathbed. We're going to see a little bit different in our Mishnah. Misha Meis, the Nim says, Daitiki Kshura al Yerecho. Here there weren't verbal instructions, but rather there was a will that was attached to the person's body. And that shows how serious the intent was, that this person wanted his words to be fulfilled upon his death. But that's indeed the problem, that it was only be effective upon death, and he didn't hand over that last will and testament to anyone to make a kinyan on it before his death. So it can no longer be effective upon death. Hareza eino klum, it's not going to be effective. Rather, the normal requirements of Yerusha and the divisions of the assets will be based on the Torah's requirements, and no gift will be effective after death. However, zika bala achara, however, if before he passed away, he handed it to somebody else, made a quasi like a formal kinyan, that would be effective as if he gave his verbal instructions, and then it would be like our prior Mishnah that we are going to adhere to the last will and testament of a shchiv mirah, somebody who's on his deathbed. And whether he handed it, bein min hayorshin, bein she'eino min hayorshin, whether he handed it to somebody who was an inheritor or not an inheritor, doesn't matter. Dvarav kayamin, that would be effective to make a gift. And we would adhere to that will and testament, even if different from the priorities of the giving out of the assets based on the halachas of Yerusha. In Mishnah Zion, we learn about the concept that was learned also in law school of a life estate. What a life estate means is that somebody can maintain and retain ownership of a piece of land, for example, for the duration of his life, and upon his death, it will go to somebody else. So that's a gift that is granted today, but somebody owns, retains that ownership, and it's called a life estate, that he will keep ownership and the dividends, produce, etc. of that asset during his lifetime. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaKosev Nechasev Levanav. Here we have somebody who's writing as a gift his assets, his field to a child or his children. Sarich Sheyichtov, in order to be effective, to make it a life estate, that its sale is going to be effective today, that they will own the property, but he maintains the right as a life estate to have the produce of that field until his death. He has to write Mehayom ul achar misa. It's going to be effective today, and it's also going to be effective upon my death. In other words, I'm maintaining the asset, the right in the asset until my death, and then you will have the full rights la'achar misa upon my death. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that you need that specific language. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein otzarech. Rabbi Yossi has the view that you just have to write ula'achar misa will be effective upon death. You don't have to write the word hayom because it says the date today. It's listed as the date, so that's in place of having to say hayom. So effectively, it's the same thing. It's effectively because of the date. It says hayom, and then you wrote la'achar misa. So this life estate that the father is maintaining the rights to the produce of the field and the entire thing, the entire gift will be effective upon his death. His child effectively owns the property now but doesn't have rights to the produce of the field until the father's death. What can happen with that field meanwhile? So the Mishnah now discusses HaKosev Nechasev Livno La'achar Moso. Somebody who does this, he maintains the right life estate and a property. Ha'av Eino Yachol Limkor. The father is not permitted to sell the asset itself. Mipnei Shen Ksuvin Laben, because he has given over that field, and effectively the son is the owner of that field nowadays. V'haben Eino Yachol Limkor, and the son is not permitted to sell that asset. Why? Because the father has retained a life estate. In other words, he owns the produce of that field until his death. Macharav, what happens if the father did sell the asset? Muchurin ad shiamus, it is only a sale until he passes away. In other words, the purchaser has the right to the proceeds of that field, the produce, but upon his death, the ownership, the actual possession of that field, the ownership was always with the son, but that possession of that field will revert to the son. The Mishnah continues, what happens, Macharaben, if the son did sell that field during the father's life, Ein lalokeach bahen klum, ad shiamusav, the purchaser has no right to any proceeds, produce of that field until the father passes away, because the father maintained a life estate in that asset. And it continues in that vein, during his life, pa'av tolish umachil kol mish yirtze, the father can harvest that field, and he can do whatever he wants with the produce of that field. He can eat it himself. If he can give it to others, he can donate it. It's his, so he can make the decision. Umashehiniach talush, once he passes away, whatever is left on that field detached, that would be the fruit of the field, that would be the father's. Even if the father, for example, gave that field as a gift to one son over the others, Harei hu shel yorshim, any fruit that was already harvested, that is not considered part of the asset, that's considered the father, and because it's the father's who passed away, it would be allocated to all the sons based on their Yerusha. The second part of the Mishnah discusses an unrelated issue, a very fascinating issue. If when the father passes away and there's an estate, and the question is, What can be used, if anything, of expenses to pay for different children out of the estate until the Yerusha, until those assets are divided in accordance with the halachas of Yerusha? So the Mishnah says as follows, Hiniach banim gedolim iktanim. Father passes away, we say Yaakov passes away, and he left a number of children, a number of sons, and they're going to all get Yerusha. The Bechor is going to get double if there's a Bechor, and the rest are going to divide it equally. And he has some who are older and some who are younger. In other words, they have different needs for expenses. Ein hagdolim mit parnesim al haktanim. The older ones who may spend more, for example, or on clothing, that they cannot have an additional benefit over the ktanim who would spend less on clothing. V'lo haktanim nizonim al hagdolim. And similarly, the smaller ones cannot have a benefit because maybe they have more expensive food that they would need. They only eat organic when they're younger or something along those lines. So they can't take more out of the estates of their father, out of the assets of the estate that would be to the detriment of their older brothers. Elecholkin b'shava. But rather, all of these brothers, young or old, they would divide the assets equally, and then they would spend what they desire for their expensive clothing or expensive food, whatever it is, out of their own portion of the Yerusha. The Mishnah then continues and says, how about wedding expenses? What if, for example, older brothers paid for their wedding, a wedding out of the estate assets? How about the younger ones? Nasu agdolim. If after the father passed away, the older ones, they used estate assets to pay for the weddings. Yisu aktanim. Those same amount of assets would have to be cordoned off for the young brothers in order to pay for their weddings before the rest of the assets in the estate would be divided for Yerusha purposes. Vim amru ketanim. Now, the situation is if the younger ones say to the older ones, hare anu nosim kederech shenesasem atem, we want to get married in the same fashion that you older brothers got married when our father was alive. In this situation, we're talking about that the father paid for the weddings of the older sons, and now the younger sons say, why should we have to pay for our wedding out of our Yerusha portion? We should have that come off the top of the estate, and only thereafter we should divide equally the balance based on our portions, based on Yerusha. In that case, the Mishnah says, Ein shomim lahen, we would not listen to them. The fact that the father paid before passes away, and even if we know he would pay for them also, it doesn't matter. This does not come into the calculation. Elamash nasan laim aviyam nasan, what the father spent on the older brothers before he passed away on their weddings, that they benefit from that, but that does not give the younger brothers the right to take that out of the estate assets before dividing up the Yerusha. In other words, they would have to pay for their own weddings out of their portion of the Yerusha. Mishnah Ches is a direct continuation of Mishnah Zayin, and it discusses if a father passes away and he leaves only daughters, there are no sons to inherit, what happens with the estate? So the Mishnah says as follows, Hiniach banos gedolos uktanos, if he left both older daughters and younger daughters, it's going to be the exact same as our prior Mishnah, Ein hagdolos misparnesos alaktanos, the older ones are not allowed to spend more money out of the estate before the division of the assets, for example, for more expensive clothing than the younger ones would have, than the younger ones would purchase, for loaktanos, nizonos alakdolos, and similarly, the smaller ones who may have more expensive food needs, they cannot spend more to the detriment of the older ones. They need to take equal amounts out of the estate, or rather, ela cholkos b'shava. Ideally, let them divide it up. They should divide up the estate equally, and then whatever expenses they have, they should spend out of their own portions of the Yerusha. Continuing, nasu gedolos yisu ketanos, if after death the older ones get married and they use some of the estate assets for their to pay their wedding expenses, then the younger ones have the right to cordon off and use those same amounts from the estate before dividing up the Yerusha and taking of their own portions. In other words, we wouldn't divide it up and that the younger ones would have to spend it out of their own portions, but rather they would be treated equally with the olders. If the older ones spent certain assets, wedding expenses out of the estate, so too the younger ones have that right, that same right. So that's Nasu Gedolos, Yisu Ketanos. However, a little bit different if the older ones were married during their father's life and he's paid for those assets, for the wedding expenses, the Amru Ketanos, and now the younger ones come and say, Hare Anu Nosos Kederach Shenesasem, Atem, we want to have the same level of wedding. We want our weddings to be paid out of the assets of the estate before it's divided up into our Yerusha portions. Ain't Shomim Lam, we don't listen to them. Rather, they would be required to pay for their weddings out of their own portion of the Yerusha. The Mishnah now goes on to say that there is indeed a difference in all of this between boys and girls, and even younger girls and older girls. Zechomer bebonos mi bebanim. This is a benefit that indeed when there is a Yerusha and there is a son, for example, around and the son gets a Yerusha, there is a tnai in the ksuba, and we'll talk about this more at the beginning of the next perek. There's a tnai in the ksuba that when a father passes away, he makes a commitment that his daughters, until they reach the age of 12 and a half, that's a bogeris, or until they become an arusa, engaged, the girls will be able to eat out and have not only food, but rent. All their needs will be paid out of the estate of the deceased father. And that is even going to be to the detriment of the sons. In other words, if there's not enough to go around to both pay a Yerusha and to pay for the needs of the younger daughters, the younger daughters' maintenance will come before any division of Yerusha by the son. So Zechomer Babonos mi Babanim, this is a benefit that girls have over the boys. Shabanos Nizonos al Habanim, that the Banos, at least until they hit the age or become an Arusa, they will be fed from the estate to the detriment of the boys, even if the boys don't get much of a Yerusha or any Yerusha. But then it continues and says, Ve'ein Nizonos al Habanos, which means that if there are only daughters that are inheriting, the younger daughter would have a benefit over an older daughter. Rather, they would all be treated equally. So in the end of the day, when a son inherits the estate, the minor daughters who are up till 12 and a half years old, the Yerusha, they do receive food from the sons, even if the sons don't get their inheritance. But when there are no sons that are inheriting, it's simply the daughters that are inheriting the state, the ksuba, the tnai, the ksuba that requires support and maintenance of the daughters would not apply, and the minor younger daughters do not receive any special allowance for maintenance and support over their older sisters. They would all be treated equally.